We've already mentioned it this morning. 14 people, mostly of Somali descent, have been accused of providing support to the Somali terrorist group Al-Shabaab. Most of those people, U.S. citizens. It's the group that claimed responsibility for a bombing last month, Al-Shabaab that is, that killed 76 people, including an American aid worker who were watching the World Cup match in Uganda. They've also declared war on the United Nations and humanitarian operations in Somalia. It has long been known that disaffected Somali Americans have left the U.S. to join Al-Shabaab or other organizations. Here is Attorney General Eric Holder speaking yesterday after the 14 indictments.
We are seeing an increasing number of individuals, including U.S. citizens, who have become captivated by extremist ideology and have taken steps to carry out terrorist objectives.
To learn more about the identities of the 14 people who were indicted and the strength of Al-Shabaab in Somalia and the U.S., we're joined now by Thomas Makaitis, professor of history at DePaul University and an expert in counterterrorism. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
And joining us from Nairobi is Abdi Ayente, who just traveled to Somalia to conduct research on a book he's working about the Al-Shabaab organization. Abdi, my first question is for you. What is the attraction of Al-Shabaab, as far as you've been able to learn in your research?
Well, I think it can be said in three ways. First of all, Al-Shabaab has been fashioning itself as a generational response to the conflict in Somalia. The word Al-Shabaab itself in Arabic means the youth. So this is a group that says young people can actually try to resolve Somalia's 20-year-long civil war. So they're mostly appealing to young people, whereas the past 20 years, older generation has been fighting among themselves to take control of Somalia. The second one is that Al-Shabaab continues to fashion itself as a nationalist movement, even though it harbors some global jihadist ambitions. It has been trying to convince younger people that it is trying to dislodge foreign intervention in Somalia, including the African Union peacekeepers, about 6,500 of them in Mogadishu. That's why it attacks at Kampala. At least that's the justification it gave. And the last point is that Al-Shabaab, for the first time, claims to transcend Somalia's clan intricacies, which has really dogged everyone else in Somalia. They say that this movement is clan blind. It's a multi-ethnic, multi-clan movement that really looks to try to resolve Somalia's problems, regardless of your clan's ethnicity.
Abdi Ayente is a journalist in Nairobi, Kenya, who is conducting research on a book he's working about the Al-Shabaab organization. Thomas Makaitis, aside from the mission of ending Somalia's brutal tragedy, which is now multi-generational, would you describe Al-Shabaab as an Al-Qaeda looking for a young demo by positioning itself as the youth?
Well, I would not exactly characterize it that way. What we're seeing all over the world, we've got to remember, is that Al-Qaeda is a franchise, a brand name, a holding company, if you will. And frequently these regional resistance movements, these regional insurgencies, in fact, rise up for purely indigenous reasons, but then they manage to link back to the other organization. They get resources, they get assistance from it, and then, of course, in return for that, they're expected to move beyond the local level and, engage in the wider struggle. That's part of what was behind the Ugandan bombings we saw a month ago, and also part of this so-called war against the West and the United Nations.
How do you account for the fact that so many of them appears allegedly that these are U.S. These are people who have grown up in the United States, who have been in the United States. How do you explain going back from being here?
Well, I think that we have an interesting phenomenon here, not unlike what was going on in Britain in the 1980s and 1990s, where you have a new generation coming of age, and they, in fact, suffer from what is sometimes called double alienation. They really can't identify or be involved with the world of their parents who were born, raised, and grew up in Somalia. Neither are they attracted to and or accepted by the larger youth culture in the United States. And that isolation makes them, a certain number of them, very amenable to recruitment by an organization like Al-Shabaab. And of course, they have a very romantic notion of it. There are stories of some of them going there and becoming quite disillusioned with the extreme rule, with the violence, with the poor living conditions, wanting to come home. But of course, by then it's too late.
Are there, in fact, examples of individuals who have been recruited in situations like this who have turned them down?
I suspect there probably are, but it is probably the case that you don't hear very much about them. This is a fairly closed community. It's possible in at least in the Twin Cities one to remain within that area and still be speaking Somalia, you know, and it's a very sort of in some ways ghettoized community.
Well, so, Thomas Makaitis, let's focus on that for a moment.
Yeah,
investigators say that expat communities have been very helpful in these investigations, but if the pattern is Britain, are we looking at a situation where investigators have an increasingly difficult time getting into these closed communities that are growing in the United States as they've grown in Britain?
No, I don't think we are, for a very simple reason, and that is the experience of the United States shows, there's actually some data released on this, that a young Muslim man or woman who gets a comparable education with any other representative of our society seems to economically do just as well. So we are more open, we're more diverse, we're more accepting. That's going to break a lot of that down.
Interesting.
On the other hand, it doesn't take that many to cause a concern.
There you go. Thomas Makaitis is a professor of history at DePaul University and an expert in counterterrorism. Abdi Ayente, let's finish with you. Do you see the same difference between American citizens attracted by al-Shabaab and, say, British citizens or other expatriate communities being attracted by this organization?
Certainly. Although the difference here is that whether they are British or American citizens, the call to young Somalis all over the world to join al-Shabaab was initially to dislodge the Ethiopian invasion that invaded Somalia in 2006 with the help of the United States. That was really a turning point. But al-Shabaab has since morphed from anti-Ethiopian movement to a global jihadist movement, and that's the reality of it today.
Abdi Ayente has just been to Somalia conducting research for a book. He's working on al-Shabaab. He joined us from Nairobi, Kenya. Thanks so much, Abdi.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.